Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Horror Film Lovers. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got my awesome co-host with us. How are you doing, Sarah Atkins?
I'm doing great.
All right. Sarah and I keep switching. So last month we had, The Loved Ones?
We had The Loved Ones, yes.
Which I loved and I had never seen. So I had to, it was funny because sometimes we do it where we both have seen the movie, like we did with Frozen. We both had seen Frozen. Then I hadn't seen The Loved Ones. You hadn't seen that. And this month is Abominable, which you had not seen. And I had. So it was really great to kind of introduce you to a movie that I loved. So when I first discovered this, I was a little bit disappointed by one thing. It wasn't an abominable snowman. It was a Sasquatch.
I actually had the same conversation with the person I was watching the movie with right there at the end. I was like, the thing said Yeti and they are in the snow, yet it's more of a Sasquatch than a Yeti. And I know that they're very similar, but there are different folklores that come from different places. And I wish that it would have been a little more Yeti-like, like maybe like white versus brown.
Yeah, right? Like fat and white and...
Because he was a thick boy, but I wish they would have gone with white fur because it would have made more sense if he was a Yeti living in the snow for him to have the white fur to kind of camouflage into, you know, the snow.
He wasn't a Yeti. I'm sorry. Yeah. I will not call him that. I don't know if the, you said the bot, like the information said Yeti on it.
In the IMDb, when I looked it up, it mentioned Yeti, but I want to say it might have mentioned like everything, like Sasquatch, Yeti and all of that. But it did use the words Yeti.
Oh yeah, it says several names: Yeti, Sasquatch, and infamous Bigfoot.
So I guess they maybe morphed it into their own version of all of those things, which is perfectly fine.
I mean, it was a Sasquatch in the snow.
So yeah, I do agree with you. I wish it was a little more Yeti-like, but overall,
I do too. But
the creature wasn't bad.
So. You know, the Yeti is also known as the Abominable Snowman. So when I first saw it, I was a little bit disappointed that it wasn't an abominable snowman. It was a Yeti or a Sasquatch. And that, I mean, that it, like once I got over that, like disappointment, the rest of the movie was great, you know?
Right.
But like, that was my initial, like, oh man, this is just a regular Sasquatch, you know?
Yes.
So I was kind of like a bit, and this was back when I first rented it through Netflix. Back in the day, I used to rent the discs from Netflix and everything. And 2006 or 7-ish.
Right. The movie did come out in 2006. Apparently there's a couple different things called Abominable. It's not the Disney cartoon that just came out.
I even had to like say something to you because I forgot to like remind you it was this one, because
when I did look it up on Tubi, there were several different options. So if you do watch this yourself after this, or you know, you're supposed to see it before this, but if you do, you know, do this backwards, go to Tubi and click on the special edition version of I can't even say it.
Abominable.
That's hard.
It's a hard word.
my speech impediment's like, nope, not that one. Yeti.
Nope. That Yeti. Sasquatch. I mean, that's what it was. It was a little sassy. It's a little sassy Sasquatch there. So let's talk a little bit about this. So this was your first time watching it, you know,
it was.
And did you enjoy it?
I did actually enjoy it more than I have previous movies. So I was happy about that. I was like, okay, like for a movie in 2006, you know, you got to remember the technology. Just a little different back then. So it was a blast from the past with, you know, the little brick phones, you know, and him going on the internet and, you know, it was connected by satellite, not by phone. So when the phones got cut off, it worked, you know, and having to look up the white pages and look up phone numbers and try to text.
Okay. I'm sorry. Like, the white pages would not work for cell phones. Like, I don't believe that.
I never really used white pages, so I wasn't sure how it worked. But in my brain, I was like, can you go on white pages and find somebody that easily with just their last name and send them a text through it? I'm like, is that really how it worked?
Well, I think what they did was they looked up their last name and then they found like the closest name to it. So like he could have been actually texting some random person that he
could did, have, that but was not that person. Yeah, but we know the message went through because they, you know, they showed it going through on their her phone.
Right. But
at the same time, though, when he's doing that, I was thinking, I'll go, how do you, well, you're taking a chance here. Hopefully it's that person that has her phone. But I was also just kind of amazed by the technology back then. I was like, I'd never used that particular feature back then. So I was like, is that really how it worked?
And I don't think so,
he was also emailing the police department since he couldn't call them.
We still have white pages, by the way, and I don't think the white pages has cell phone numbers, you know, because I don't know why. I think it's because nobody lists, you know, like the whole point of white pages is it's from your phone book, right? It's from the phone book. The phone book, generally, when you go through your back in the day when they had landlines, really, they still do, but they don't. You know, not as many people use them. People just, they're like, why do I need a landline when I have my cell phone? But some people do, like my parents still have one. I'm sure other parents still have one, whatever. It's one of those things. But me personally, I was a little bummed out because I am pretty darn sure you cannot use the white pages to look up cell phone numbers.
Right.
Still to this day, because people have to list them. So I think, you know, unless maybe if like they list it because that's their home phone number and they do that somehow or another. But most of the time, I think people just don't do
that. I will say that was one part of the movie with the whole like older technology, though, that I was kind of questioning, like, okay, like, I don't know if I really can go with that. But for the sake of the movie, like, I'll go along with it. But I was like, I don't think that's how that worked. So that did take me out of my mind frame a tiny little bit, but not very bad. It was very minuscule.
I agree. It was sort of like that with me. I was just like, I don't think so, but it's okay. Right. Like, I'm still in it. Like, it's not affecting my thing. So let's get into the story.
Real quick before we go into the story, let me finish. You asked me if I liked it. So I will say, I actually did like it. It was a creature feature, almost a monster movie, which I like monster movies. And like I said, I liked that, except for the few parts we had wrong with like it not being a Yeti and it being a Sasquatch. I actually like the monster wasn't bad. The storyline wasn't horrible. And I enjoyed watching it. It had its flaws. We'll get into that. But for the most part, it was an enjoyable movie.
Exactly. I agree. 100%. I really, really loved it. So it begins basically with Farmer Haas and his wife, Ethel Haas, played by Rex Lynn and Dee Wallace.
Right.
We were talking about Dee earlier and everything, that you recognize her and everything. And I was so happy she did go by Dee Wallace Stone. And that just makes me happy. Because that was her name for a long time until she decided to go back to just Dee Wallace, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she was Dee Wallace Stone. So every time I see that, I just, a little heart like thing pops up to me. But yeah, Dee, she was so sweet. I was like, you better not hurt my Dee. But they did hurt the poor dog Sparky. He didn't make it. She didn't make it. Because she was played by a dog named Ruby, I guess. You know, as I guess your cat's not happy about that.
The cat found a toy. She does that when she's playing. Shush, shush, shush. I apologize.
Okay. I just thought she was upset about the kid, dog.
No, it's really weird because when she's playing, she gets really happy and that's her happy I'm playing noise. So it's like, I don't want to punish her for being happy, but at the same time, Abby, I'm trying to do a podcast here. Please hush. It's okay. My other cat's about to go kick her butt.
Okay, good. Alrighty, we are moving on. So the two Haases, you know, are basically, the Farmer Haas and Ethel are at the house and they discover there's something out there in the woods,
right.
You know, and they get attacked and So it sets up for later where Farmer Haas and everybody has to go fight, and we'll get into that, but I have to go figure out what this is. It's introducing
the creature, basically, the Yeti Squatch. It's like, look, Squatch. It's snowing. This is a farm place. It's an introductory to the movie of, hey, this is where you first see that there's something out here. It's killing livestock, and look at this giant ass footprint.
Exactly. And I like that. I like the giant ass footprint shit. And I think, I guarantee you, that's why they decided to do it in the snow, you know, or it was set in the snow. Yeah. So you can see the tracks, and it's very, I mean, it looked great. I was like, oh, they did those really well.
Yeah, you know? They really did. Those are some huge footprints.
Yeah. I'm wondering, I mean, I don't know if they had like the person actually had the feet that big, you know, or whatever, and they just stepped on it. So
probably a mold.
Yeah, maybe, could be, who knows. So anyway, we end up seeing that there's a Sasquatch out there, and then we end up meeting Matt McCoy's character. Matt McCoy is a rock climber who happens to be dealing with a you know, kind of, I don't know, his PTSD issues or something with his wife.
He had a lot of mental issues dealing with the trauma after the incident, because there was this cliff, so the suicide ridge or whatever they called it, said it was a routine thing that him and his wife used to scale it all the time. And that's why they had the cabin out there, and it still had all the gear in it from when they used to go do the mountain things, which, you know, was foreshadowing and came into play later, I guess.
Well, how long has he been away from that cabin? And
yeah, I was asking myself the same thing, though, because it's been a while, I would assume.
And how's he paying for that cabin still? Unless he paid it off and he just...
Right. But, like, they didn't really go into how he had the cabin. And at first I thought maybe it was a rental. And then when he got his gear out of it, I was like, okay, so he actually, this is his cabin.
This is his cabin. Like, I got that from.
Yeah, but they didn't give a whole lot of background on what he, you know, he did for a living, how he paid for stuff. It was more of, hey, this is your guy. He's paralyzed from this accident. He's traumatized because his wife didn't make it.
You know what? I mean, he was paralyzed. There might have been some kind of. He might have gotten paid some kind of money for everything, you know, because you know, it was on public property, you know what I mean, or whatever. Right. Like,
which I wasn't sure if you were ready to go into how she died or not. I didn't know if you wanted to explain that or if you want me to.
Well, I guess she was rock climbing with him one day, and she slipped. And
they said that the cord broke.
Yeah.
So they both free-falled.
Yeah. And then he got paralyzed from it and she died.
Right. And so she fell like 1,000 feet to her death, they said. And they said that she had a heart attack before she even hit the ground. And then he apparently happened to have landed on something that basically paralyzed him, but kept him from falling far enough to kill him. So he was going on about how hard it was for him mentally that he survived and she didn't. That whole survivor's guilt thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of survivor's guilt in that. And so he's going up with the orderly Otis, who I loved. He was my favorite character. You know, like, I mean, I don't know if he was yours too, but he was my favorite character.
Yeah.
Oh, the kitty.
I wanted to introduce the one who was interrupting. So she says she's sorry.
It's okay. She can interrupt. She's, you know, she's trying to be a commentator, you know.
Right. So she's trying Otis to be our guest. Was Otis the male nurse that was with him?
Okay. I call him orderly Otis, but yeah, he's.
Well, like, I don't remember. I couldn't remember his name in it. And when I went to IMBD, it was not a picture of him on his IMBD. No. So I was like, I think that was the nurse guy, which, man, he was a character. And who just drinks whiskey and milk with ice? Like, I understand White Russians, but there was like no coffee or anything. So I was kind of like, man, he's just pounding back whiskey and milk. Vodka and milk.
Yeah, he was enjoying that shit.
Right. He was kind of a dick.
I liked him. I don't know. The guy who played him, was a Christian, Tinsley, was not an actor really.
Okay. That might be why he doesn't have a picture up.
Yeah, he's a makeup guy, makeup effects designer.
I think he did a great job, and he was a great actor. I loved his character.
But I don't know if he did
the character itself. I think was a dick, but I think he was a rightfully so dick because he was trying to take care of this guy, and this guy was like screaming Bigfoot at him, and he's like, "All right, buddy, like I've had enough of this shit," you know. So the attitude is warranted until he finally realized that, hey, like he's not crazy. He did get, you know, knocked out there with that needle though. Poor dude.
He did do the creature effects for this movie. So, really? Yeah. So he did the creature effects and design, I believe. Let's see.
So that must have been kind of really cool for him though, to design the creature and do the effects and then also have a role in it like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and a pretty good role too. And we'll get to him later. But yeah, I absolutely, well, we'll get more to him now. So he goes with, you know, Matt McCoy's character. I forgot his name. What was his name? His name was Preston Rogers. They made a Mr. Rogers joke later.
Maybe he thinks he's in the wrong neighborhood or something like that, right? Yeah,
something like that. Mr. Rogers in the wrong neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. Right. Like something like that, like a really lame Mr. Rogers joke.
When the sheriff got the email from him,
yeah, you know, we'll get into that.
Yeah, that he was just being a bit of a dick about it.
Yeah, definitely. Because we'll get into that sheriff, man. That sheriff is awesome. So basically they go into town, they go into the a grocery store / gas station kind of thing, like a gas station. Mm-hmm. and we get to meet Jeffrey Combs.
I didn't even recognize him because, you know,
I didn't either.
Made his eyes big and he had the hat and the hair, like he was really covered up.
And he was just called Clerk in the movie. He had no name. And so he was wonderful. I loved him in it, but like he does that from time to time. He'll pop up in an indie horror film and he will not look recognizable. And I met him once. He's a really swell guy, really nice dude.
I've met him before too.
Yeah, he's just, you know, I wish I could have, like, I was talking to Paul about this and he was like, he loved those guys. He loved Lance Henriksen and Jeffrey. And I said, you know, Jeffrey's on my bucket list of people to work with, you know, put in a movie. Because you put him or like Ted Raimi or somebody like that in a movie, that gold, man, you know, they do no wrong. They only elevate a movie. And so, yeah, so we meet him and he's talking about Preston and the shit that he remembers hearing about Preston and, you know, all the shit.
Yeah, about the wife falling.
Yeah, he gave a little bit of a backstory on that, you know, and
that's
stuff
like
that.
Where I picked up and learned, you know, that she free fell and she had a heart attack and died before she hit the ground, because that's the information he gave.
Yeah.
He was giving it to Otis, who then I guess was like, that's the guy I'm taking care of.
Wow, I have to come back to that guy. Ugh. So he goes back and they take him back home, and he forgot the soy milk, I guess, or whatever. That's the whole bit,
right? Because he was allergic to regular or something like that.
Yeah, so he's like, I need soy milk, and he's like, fine, I'll take a half hour, be back. And of course, Preston doesn't want to be alone in that fucking house, you know. No. Like when he just got back, and he's like, it'll be 30 minutes, so it'll be okay. It's not 30 minutes.
It was way more than 30 minutes. And you notice when he got back and he pulled out that bottle of vodka, it was already open and almost halfway.
I did not see that, but wow, okay.
So I'm wondering that if it took more than 30 minutes because he was already drinking.
Oh, probably. He was probably going out and going somewhere drinking. And
the other guy didn't even drink any of the milk.
Right.
So it's like you went out to get this for him and he don't even want it. It's for you.
Yeah. I guess he didn't end up drinking it. Yeah, no. That's weird.
Like, well, honestly, in his condition, you should not be offering alcohol to somebody who's going back to a place where they have this PTSD and they're trying to get over it. Like, that doesn't seem very professional or smart.
I don't think Otis was very professional nor smart.
No, I don't either.
I think so that worked for his case.
Not being really good about this guy's recovery at all.
No, he doesn't give a fuck about his recovery at all. Like, he doesn't. And that's fine, like, because that's storytelling right there. That's
storytelling, but it's still very messed up of Otis to be like, I'm supposed to be helping you, but you know what? Screw you.
You know what I've noticed is most movies that have the character named Otis is never usually a good thing or something. Right. You know, Otis is never a good guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Not unless you're watching Milo and Otis, but if you're watching a horror movie, Otis is normally like the bad guy.
Which one's Milo and which one's Otis? Was Otis the dog?
I'm pretty sure Otis is the dog. And if we are wrong, people will correct us.
Yes, they will. The people who watch Milo and Otis will correct us. Yes. I just have not seen that movie in forever because I've heard the horrible stories. And once I heard the horrible stories, I'm like, I can't watch it. Aww. You know, like the dogs and cat were like put through some real shit. Aww, and stuff and whatnot.
I just remember it from a kid, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. But no, my favorite Otis will always be Bill Moseley, you know.
Right. That. And he was an, you know, asshole, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
So like I said, there's never really that, you know, humans have never been really good Otises. You know, maybe I'll have to make an Otis that's a nice guy, you know. It's, you know, that's not the bad guy. So then all of a sudden, while that guy's gone, he finds the group of girls that are visiting across the, you know, next door. One of them is Tiffany Shepis, and oh my God. So back then I became really like a huge fan of Tiffany Shepis, mm-hmm. you know, and then I had Tiffany Shepis on my radio show, and then I got to meet her in person a few times, actually hung out with her a few times. She is a delight, you know, and this movie, she was fantastic, you know. And do you know which one she was? She was the
she the one in the shower.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've probably seen her in a bunch of other stuff.
Okay, because when I looked up, like I said, I looked up the cast. I saw her face, and I'm pretty sure I saw the name Tiffany next. So that's the only reason why I knew that. But she did look familiar.
She's like, been in a lot of like trauma.
She got out of the Jeep in the beginning. I saw her face. I was like, she looks a little familiar. So I'm sure I've seen her in things.
She's been in like some trauma movies. Okay. She was in Bloody Murder 2, which a lot of people don't like that movie necessarily, but I love it. It's so campy and bad and like fun. You know, it's an indie film cafe. Like those mm-hmm. Bloody Murder movies are indie film cafe, you know, kind of material. So anyway,
her death scene was really awesome, and I wasn't expecting any nudity in this movie. So when we got a little bit, I was like, oh, okay, cool.
When I talked to her years ago, I told her that I thought her death scene was the most awesome thing in the world. And she said that was the only reason she signed on to it, was because she saw that death scene. Because
right.
if you notice that that role was really small, you know, I mean, other than getting naked, but like she could have probably turned the movie down had she, you know, whatever, you know, but she like heard how it was, and she was like, it'd be interesting. I think she was thinking like, it'd be interesting to see this death scene happen. You know, if this happens the way that, you know, it's kind of described to her. Right. So it was really well done and very cool, but I guess we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. So, you know, those group of girls come in and he's like, oh crap. So it becomes Rear Window for horror, you know. It's been a horror Rear Window. Have you ever seen that movie made by Alfred Hitchcock?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so Rear Window is Jimmy Stewart plays a disabled man with a wheelchair, mm-hmm. And he's spying on his neighbors, you know.
Okay.
With binoculars, so look down. Okay. And see.
Okay.
This person,
like our main man did in this movie.
What?
Like exactly. Our main man did in this movie. Okay.
Exactly. And honestly, this is, people are gonna hate me for this statement, and I'm ready for it, because I'm not, you know, this is me being 100% honest. I prefer Matt McCoy over Jimmy Stewart any day. Jimmy Stewart is one of my least favorite like old timer actors. You know, and I feel bad for saying that, because a lot of people love him and think he's, you know, the most amazing, you know, actor. And I just find him boring. You know, I feel like every character he's ever played is always the same. I feel like he's just, his voice never changes. He never, you know what I mean? He never has anything, you know, and I just find him plain, you know, and everybody always loves him. And I think that's why it took me like 3 or 4 times to actually get through Rear Window. I just can't.
Right. If it's too monotone acting for me, I have a hard time focusing.
Right. And so I'm just not a fan of his, but I did finish Rear Window because it is an amazing movie. Mm-hmm. But that's because Alfred Hitchcock directed it. And I think anybody could have been there playing that role, honestly. I don't think he, you know, I don't see, that's the problem. Like, I think almost anybody can play. Now, a lot of people love him in Vertigo, and I think he's great in Vertigo. It's actually probably his best movie, also by Alfred Hitchcock. But still, other than that, I just really haven't really dug him. I like Cary Grant. I like, you know, all these big time, like old time actors, much more than him, you know. But, you know, that's my personal opinion. And I love Matt McCoy. I've loved him ever since I saw him in, as a kid, saw him in the movie Cry of the White, Cry in the Wild 2, White Wolves Cry in the Wild 2. And he was also in Police Academy 5, 6, and 7, taking over for Steve Guttenberg. You know, he took that role over and I thought he did a fantastic job. And then I see him in this movie and he blows me away. Like, he was just wonderful and he showed range and emotions and a lot of stuff, you know. Yep. And I thought he was wonderful, so yeah.
But he definitely was rolling around with them binoculars. Yep. The entire time.
He became like a peeping Tom, and that's
right. But he wasn't doing it to be a peeping Tom, though. He was doing it because he saw Squatch and was like, oh no, where is this thing, where is it next, like gotta save people, like so he was trying to do good.
So he saw Squatch Eddie and decided he was gonna try to warn them that there's something out there, but they're not listening, you know.
No, they see care. A guy with binoculars from across the street and they're like, pervert, and close the windows, which
right.
I was really surprised that the bathroom window didn't have a curtain drawn on it. You know, because when he was looking and you could see inside the bathroom, I was like, really? I was like, you could see the toilet and the shower, and you know, later you see her naked in the shower. But I was I'd put a curtain on that thing if I was camping out there.
That's a good thing, like good thing to notice, because I literally think the only reason they have that scene is for two reasons. So that A, we could see all the way through. You yeah. don't know that we can see all the way through, and B, so that they can, that the Tiffany Shepard can be taken through the thing.
But they were kind of foreshadowing by showing that you can see through it, that late, you know, kind of later something would happen in that room. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's like, what normal reality would somebody who has a cabin right next to them not have their shades drawn in their bathroom? Like, I don't know, like I personally would have the blinds drawn if I knew there was a guy with binoculars, especially in the cabin right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
yep, exactly. I totally 100% agree. So basically there's that going on, which just is crazy. And then there's so like he's trying to, like, he's like at first trying to say something, they're like, no, whatever, go inside the house. And then the friend goes out to go talk on the phone and to her boyfriend, kind of, I guess they're having a girls weekend, you know, right. Getaway. And that goes to warn you, get your girls, don't go for a girls weekend together. Right.
You go to a cabin trying to have margaritas and pillow fights, you're gonna get, you know, eaten by a monster.
Now, you're a girl, does that really happen? Do they have pillow fights, or is that just something that they put in the movies?
I wish. I've never been invited to anything like that before, but I so would get together with my horror movie gals and go out there and do that. That'd be fun.
You know what,
it'd be even great to pay somebody to like dress up as a Squatch and freak us out.
Don't tempt me. I might ask.
Then they get to come into the party afterwards and join us. It'll be awesome.
I don't know. So yeah, I just, it's just crazy. It's just weird to think like that these girls like were, I guess, spending the night, you know, spending the weekend right. together.
Girls' weekend, you know, like we're getting in a cabin, we're gonna go have fun, no cell phones, you know, just girls' time, you know.
Back one girl,
six.
The girl was smoking in the bathroom.
Yep.
And then the other girl went to go talk on the phone, but you know, whatever. So she went outside, right. and then she got eaten by or taken away. By Sasquatch. She didn't get completely eaten. We find that out later. You know, it got me thinking. Well, I guess we'll get to it when we get to the,
right, 'cause they were just setting up the fact that she did have a phone and that Yeti Squatch was out there and abducting people. So that was another introduction of and setting up of all of that.
Exactly. So then, what is it? What's her name? After then the girl lost her phone and everything, and the guy tried to figure out on the white pages.
Right. And how to text that phone to send a message of warning to her friends.
And did. Absolutely. Sent a message to of warning to the friends. And I mean, I hate to say it, but if you heard somebody say, you know, look out, there's this Sasquatch out there, your girl's been your friend's been right. taken, I mean, yeah, I'm glad they believed him, you know,
right. and called, well, and you did notice, like, he wrote something and he's like, no, that's kind of weird, and deleted it and wrote something else, because like he could know, he knew that he's like, if I text them this, they're just gonna be like, huh? So he did kind of like change it up the second time, and he was like, your friend was abducted, call the police.
Yeah,
he's like, if I mention this monster, they're not going to take me seriously. But I am surprised he didn't text like, hey, I'm in the cabin across from you. I saw somebody take your friend. Please call the police, you know, like, or come over here and talk to me.
Well, yeah, because right after that, they notice him staring or whatever. And they think he's a creeper. Like,
right.
Tom,
he can't go over there because of the wheelchair, and Otis locked the damn doors and he can't go down the stairs, which yeah. I did think when he opened the door to see the stairs and was like, I thought that was foreshadowing that he might go down those stairs or something, but
I thought so too.
They never took place again. So maybe yeah. that was a mistake or something.
Or maybe he just like, maybe that was literally just like crap.
To show that he was stuck in there.
Yeah. He was stuck, you know, at that particular time. I think that's what it was. That he felt like, oh shit, now I can't leave, you know, or whatever. So he had to deal with that shit. He had to stay there. So, I mean, you know, then all of a sudden the girl was snatched. Like, people, you know, got the message, they called the cops, but the cops are like, you got 48 hours. That is a thing. You know, you see it in a lot of films. You have 48 hours, before
somebody's technically missing.
Right. Because you'd think they could show up like that night or something.
They could, because she was like, she's only been missing for 20 minutes. But my only thing though is there should be an exception if you are out in a place like that. Like, I understand if you're out in suburbia, but if you are out renting a cabin or at a cabin out in the mountains in the woods and somebody goes missing, there should be a little more of a notice to, okay, we know you have to wait 48 hours, but it is rare for people to go missing just out in the woods, and it could be very dangerous and life-threatening. So we're going to take note of this. We know it's a 25-hour drive up to you. So if she's still missing here in like an hour or two, let us know again, and we will come out and just make sure everything's okay. Like, still, just out of knowing that it is the wilderness. Like, this isn't somebody missing out, you know, in our normal everyday, like, suburbia. So you think there would be a little more... like, oh, you know what? People get lost in the woods all the time. We should take this a little more seriously.
And that also brings up a good question about, so the deputy comes to the sheriff at one point. So we'll talk about that real quick, even though I think that's later. But it comes to the sheriff and says, you know, we got this email from the, you know, from Preston. And that's when he makes that silly joke and everything. Right. And Mr. Rogers. And then he says that, like, you know, he says everything, you know, he says, right. You know,
you want me to go check on
you them? Want me to go check on him? Wouldn't that deputy be like, you know, we did get a call like, you know, an hour ago or something about the about some girls saying they have a friend missing. Like, shouldn't we just go like investigate this, like just in case? Because, like, you know, and that probably would have made the sheriff go, you might be right. All right, go, you know, go check it out.
I feel like he was a good deputy and he was very, no, I really would like to go check all this out. But the sheriff was just like, you're not doing it. I'm not letting you do it. It's stupid. It's 25
minutes. Well, he does later do it by himself. He does go out. He
does, because I think he's like, you know what? Like, I don't care what the sheriff says. I need to go.
I wish there was a line or something in it of like the, you know, the sheriff didn't want me to come out, but I came out. Something like that, because I feel like, you know, that character just showing up just sort of was like a little odd later. But, you know, I guess we didn't really need it because now we got it. You know, we understood that that was the thing. But in the same sense, it would have been cool to have some kind of little line explaining that this was a good, this was the good deputy that was disobeying his, you know, like even later when they're dealing with the, they're trying to find the Sasquatch or whatever. And him like, you know, like saying something like, see, I came out sooner.
We should, you know, I told you that this was something we should have checked out, you know?
Yeah, something like that. But they never did that. I don't know why, but they just, I guess he just never, they never wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Ryan Schifrin made this movie, and I should explain this. Ryan, it's sort of funny that I picked this one after I picked Frozen. Ryan Schifrin and Adam Green are really good friends. I'm guessing they met each other through doing all the film stuff or whatever, and probably film festivals or whatever, you know. Both of them, like, this was probably coming out about the same. It came out in 2006. Hatchet came out in 2007. I guarantee there was a little bit of cross, you know, together of that. Right. So they knew each other. Ryan Schifrin, I thought, did a fucking amazing job as far as directing. He also shot on film, which you can tell at times this does look like a film. Doesn't look like it was shot on video, you know, or anything. Or there was no HD in 2006. So, you know, you had to shoot everything on film. And I mean, there might have been HD, but and it wasn't that good. You know, it's not like there weren't like red cameras like there are now, you know, where that's where everybody shoots on. And honestly, after looking at it, it got me mad. Because I was like, damn, this looks good. Like, no films are going to look like this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and it got me like kind of disappointed. So thank you, Ryan, for shooting this on film and making a damn good Sas Yeti. Because like that creature design, that, my God, the head and everything. Oh,
it was a really good creature. And like, you know, you could tell that, you know, it was one of those things where it's like his big teeth and they didn't really move a whole lot, but it's like he had a cool vibe.
And he, it had that it had that feeling of of like Jaws, you know, where you don't see the creature at first, you just kind of see it walking around sort of thing. And when you see that a lot, you start getting scared because there are so many bad Sasquatch costumes out there. You know, some of them don't even
move. You either worry the costume's going to be really bad or that they're never going to show you what it looks like, you know? So to have you actually get to see it so prominent, what he looks like and him actually look decent, it's a win-win.
Well, yeah, it looks, I mean, I hate to say, this is going to sound bad, but yeah, I think it looks perfect, you know?
Yeah,
like it was a really good looking Sasquatch. That's, I think that's what I liked about the film. Like when I first saw it was that like, I was like, this is like one of the best kind of Sasquatch movies out there. I'm thinking like someday Paul and I are going to do a Sasquatch, like a shitty Sasquatch show. I think that, you know,
yeah, there are a lot of friends in the business of Sasquatch shows and hunting and friends who write books and all of this stuff.
Well, we're going to talk about the movies now, the really
right, but still movies. Like the Sasquatch world is a world. It is an environment.
I love Sasquatch. I've always been fascinated. My dad's fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by it. People used to send my dad all these like clippings of Sasquatch stuff, Bigfoot stuff. And I think when I was a kid, I saw those and I got sort of, you know, a little bit into it. And I'm huge. I'm into Sasquatch. I, you know, I hate the idea that like some people think that Sasquatch and Yeti are the same thing. They're not. Yeah. Yeti lives in the Himalayas, right, and Sasquatch lives in like United States.
Right. You know? And that is what I also had to explain to the person I was watching the movie with, because they did have that question. They're like, what is the difference? I was like, okay, it's kind of a location, you know, thing really, but, and a folklore thing. I was like, but there is a difference.
There is a difference. It's just like, you don't call the Jersey Devil and the Chupacabra the same thing, yeah, you know, or something or whatever, you know what I mean? They're different. And so they're in the same family, in the same like kind of genealogy kind of whatever thing. But they're different. And so this Sasquatch, God, I almost said Yeti, Sasquatch looked amazing. And yeah, they could open up its mouth, which a lot of Sasquatch movies, they don't do that. They can't open their mouth, yeah, up because they get the crappy mass, basically.
The mouth opening up did lead to a really cool kill for Otis.
Yeah, which I wonder if he was like, they like got him to do the part because like he got to be eaten by his own creature.
Right, and he probably did a lot of the effects for that too.
And so yeah, so he, I don't know, but it was under like, apparently I looked it up and he's part of a group called Griffith Park, which is, I guess, a special effects crew, you know? So I think, and they did like Catwoman and a bunch of other big time movies. And for them to do this, you know, tinier budget movie, which I mean, I still think it probably had to cost at least a couple million, just because like, it's just really well shot, really well, whatever. Probably, I mean, it might have cost less. I don't know, but I don't know if it even has the budget listed on the IMDb. So, all right, where were we in the story? So, what's her name?
Mrs. Hamburglar or whatever her last name was, because she had a ridiculous last name. She got kidnapped by Hamburglar. Yep,
it was ridiculous.
Her last name was like Ham something, and it sounded like hamburger. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it was so weird, and it was weird because, like, I guess it made sense that that was such a weird name. Thank God her name wasn't Smith.
You know, right? There's no way he could have found her number.
Yeah, they had to have her have like such a weird name. How the fuck can you remember that too? Like, I can't remember what I did, like, you know, 2 seconds ago. How can you remember like? The girl said that name that, you know, or whatever. Luckily, right. Tiffany Shepis told her to get off the fucking phone, you know, or whatever. So later, she got eaten or taken away. He dealt with them. They left. He's still in there. Otis returns with the booze and the milk. And it says, you know, we'll tell them, we'll talk to them after dinner.
You know, right, like, I don't believe you, but if you're really this freaked out, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. Let's have dinner, and after dinner, if she still doesn't show up, I'll let you go over there and talk to them. And then he makes dinner, and he didn't even eat his dinner. So Otis ate his dinner and then passed out drunk, and the other plate you saw.
He didn't pass out drunk. He was trying to calm what's his name down, and he gives him that sedative.
Because they showed the two dinner plates, one empty, one full, and then they went over to the chair next to the dinner plate, and Otis was passed out drunk.
Oh.
And then he woke up a little later when there was a bunch of screaming and shit after the monster kind of attacked a little bit, and was like, why are you freaking out? You know what? I'm going to give you this sedative because you're freaking out. Yep. And then he got it instead. We got woken up by, hey, there's a monster outside. And that's when the sedative was like in play.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, you're right.
The other guy was so freaked out, he couldn't even eat. Like, he was.
I totally forgot that he passed out because I don't know. There's so much that went on in the movie. So.
Yeah, because I think he passed out and then the shower scene happened because he woke him up. He's like, you got to look at this. And he looked at the back and he was like, oh, you looking at naked ladies, huh?
All right. So I think before that happened too, we had cut to the group of the hunters, basically.
Oh yeah, it was a little small insert, but it needed to be there to give us a little, I guess.
Well, it did. It gave us some good stuff. So
yeah.
First thing I loved is the whole Darwin Awards story.
Yeah, the comment.
That was just so fun. Oh, God. That was just so, that story that he told, right, and just all that, just Lance Henriksen. I could listen to Lance Henriksen.
Right. If you want to listen to Lance talk about a story about a guy super gluing his hands to a rhino's ass and dying from all the diarrhea, then yeah.
I could listen to him read the fucking phone book. He is such a cool dude. And just him talking just made me happy. And him talking about how Jeffrey Combs was chain smoking and shit and saying, right, I wonder if some of that is Lance too, like talking about you know, I wonder if he doesn't smoke himself and he just, right, was like, you know, let me throw something in there. And then Jeffrey wants to be like, oh, you know, I'm gonna light, right, up some more.
If you're a real idiot for being on an oxygen tank and smoking, chain smoking so much, you know, he's like, your lungs must look like, you know, Brillo pads or whatever.
And then he's just like, oh yeah, you reminded me. Took out a cigarette, right, and started smoking again. Then and then he said the Darwin Awards thing, and then he was like, they were talking about the Sasquatch, and then they heard the Sasquatch, heard something. And
they were like, yeah, looking for it after it had visited the farm and tore up all the livestock, you know.
Yeah,
so like, that, okay, we need to investigate.
Was it D. Wallace's husband was dealing with that, and so not her real husband.
Lance even said, he's like, I don't believe in Bigfoot or Sasquatch, I just like to kill things. So that's,
I loved that line. That was one of my favorite lines in the whole movie. Is,
yeah,
you know, well, you know, then why are you here? It's like, because I like to kill stuff, kill things.
Yeah,
I like to kill things. And then he's like, well, you got me there, you know. Yeah. So, you know, he goes out to go kill the thing, you know. And that's another line I liked, is like, oh, there goes another Darwin Award. You know, like, he knows there's a potential,
right,
Sasquatch, and there's a potential, right, or a bear, you know. Nobody,
right, he sees blood on the ground and he follows it, you, yeah, know, and that leads him to the cave, which is a den. And it's like, I'm sorry, any hunter even would know, if you find a cave like that, you know that that's normally where the beast is going to sleep and lay. So it's like, maybe you should get your friends to back you up or go in there with you, or, but no, he just goes in all by himself.
Oh, he's a big
bones and everything, and he's still going deeper. I'm like, I probably would have turned around at the first bone and be like, this isn't safe, but now I know where it is.
Yep, he's a big badass hunter. That's all that you have to say about his character. His character was just this, you know, he was a big badass, and he finds the girl and he tries to help her out, but she's like, oh my God, the
gut wound,
the guts.
That was good. That was a good wound.
I know.
Like, the special effects and the wounds and the deaths in this movie were great.
And then she gets taken away by the Sasquatch, and mm-hmm. and like, and she's like trying to crawl on the, you know, trying to whatever, and trying to get free, and she can't, and she gets, I guess, killed, you know, for sure. Right. And then it comes after him, you know, and he runs out. He's like, you know, it's out there. It's coming. And he's like,
coming. I saw it. It's out, yeah, there. And they just start shooting randomly into the woods, though. And I'm like, you're going to waste all your bullets just shooting randomly into the trees. So when it does come out, you're going to be screwed.
And I see a lot of movies do that. And my only thought for that is, it might happen just because somebody's going crazy and thinking, uh-oh, you know, like, you know, like, uh-oh, what am I going to do about this? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I have to figure it out. So anyway, like, I have to do something. We have to kill this thing. I mean, whatever it takes. So they just start shooting. And so that thing, the Sasquatch, comes out and kills all of them, and pretty fucking cool deaths, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. His deaths
were great.
I know, that's probably one of the best parts of the movie, period. Next to the outfit, the costume, just the deaths. And, you know, a lot of people talk about that. A lot of people talk about, you know, the deaths of these movies and how cool they are or whatever. And I mean, literally, this is one of the coolest, like, Sasquatch death right. stuff.
Well, because a lot of these movies, what I was worried about is the cheese factor. It's like, so sometimes you have a good story, but you have horrible either CGI or horrible effects, or just none because they can't afford them. Or you have a really good storyline, you know, like you only usually get one. So for this one, it's like, I feel like the storyline was okay. It wasn't anything spectacular, but it was basic and it was a good setup. But it's like, it had a great Yeti squatch. Like the costume was great. The special effects that they did, you know, all the blood and just all the deaths, like that part was actually really good. And I feel like for a monster flick like this, that's really important, and might be more important than, you know, more the story is the fact that he looked great and the deaths were great, because that's kind of why you're watching this film, you know, is you want to see the Yeti Squatch devour people, and the fact that that was, you know, done so well, I was glad, because I was glad that it wasn't just one of those movies where it's like you see no blood or it's off screen, like
a lot of that happens, and you know, most of the time you just don't know what's going to happen with that. Yeah, you know,
so I was very happy about all that.
I was too.
Like the bathroom death, and that was awesome. You know,
bathroom death was pretty sweet. So yeah, it was pretty cool. It was after that, after those guys die, you know, we move on to go back to the house and everything. That's when he starts seeing the Sasquatch attacking the, you know, coming to the house, and he's trying to warn the guy that fell asleep, Otis.
Right. Because he sees the bathroom death, and he starts freaking out, and then the thing like puts
his actually before then window. Before then he sees the bathroom, the girl in the bathroom. The guy's like, well, you're spying on your neighbor, huh?
There is. So like once the Yeti starts showing up and actually starting to kill people, and then even showed its face into his window, freaked him out, and he passed out for a little bit. And then he was like, oh no, I gotta warn these girls. I gotta tell them that this thing is out here.
Yep. And so Tiffany Shepard gets in the shower. The girl sees, or the guy sees whatever, and then he's freaking out, tell him we gotta warn him. Cause like he sees her get pulled in through the thing. Yes. And Otis does not see Tiffany Shepard's
death. He does not get to see that death, but that death scene was great. And like you said, that's the reason why she wanted to be in this, is she read that death scene and was like, I want to do that. So for that, she got pulled through a window.
I mean, like, you don't see that in any
right. Really. But like, awesome part was, not only did she get pulled through a window, she got pulled through the window and her body bent backwards. And
I know.
The window. So
it's like she was a folding chair, you know?
Right. So that's what I'm saying. That like, where the deaths were nice, because it wasn't just your typical in the window pull you out. Was I pulled you in the window, but your whole body just went the wrong way and through. So it was
so gruesome.
It was a gruesome window pull. So it was like mad props for actually putting some detail and making it a gruesome kill and not just a grab, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
he doesn't see that. So the guy freaks. So Matt McCoy freaks out, and Otis is just like, you know, I'm gonna give you the sedative. He gets the sedative instead. He passes out. Then it's you know, then it's up to Matt McCoy to figure out how to warn them, but like he keeps kind of trying to yell at them, and
right, because I think at some point they do walk into the, like, they're trying to get into the bathroom, like, hey, why are you taking so long, and then I think when they go outside and realize that the window's all busted and see everything and start screaming and freaking out,
and then he so he's trying to tell them there's the monster still out there or whatever, and they can't really hear him too well.
He's at your house. He's in the house.
Oh yeah, they do hear him because they talk to him. They're yelling at him.
Yeah, they talk to him through the window. He's like, I saw your friend die. You need to call the police. And he saw the door, your buster. He's like, he's in your house.
I'm like, so she goes in. He even tries to call them through your whatever, send them a text, because they put the music on at one point and they can't hear it. So he sends that text again, and they check it out. And so they turn the music off, and oh man. So one of my other favorite deaths was the, or like attacks or whatever, was him going through the floor and grabbing the girl and pulling her down. Wow, that was fucking cool.
The only problem I did have with that death. So basically they were saying that his hearing was so good and stuff, and he was so strong and so big that if he heard you step on the floor above him, he could just grab you down. But then later when the other girl's kind of sneaking around him, he doesn't hear that. So that was my only continuity error, was like, he could hear and he was so strong. He could hear her to pull her through the floor. But then in other scenes, he wasn't as sensitive with his hearing of realizing there was somebody in the room with him.
I think there's times where it's a little bit of a mix of both, you know, of like being able to.
And that girl was, well, her friend was such a bitch because she almost got snuck out of the room, and then her friend screamed and left her there to die. She's like, I was almost free. I was sneaking away. He didn't see me. And then that girl just screamed at the Yeti, and the Yeti was like, oh, thanks.
Well, the beautiful thing about that is, who's the one who died?
Right,
you know, like the girl who fucking screamed and even freaked when out.
She was trying to run to the car and leave her friend behind, like her friend, like Amanda, whatever her name was. She managed to still get away, even though she just got ratted out by her friend, you know, to the Yeti.
She still
managed to get out on the porch, and instead of picking her up and helping her to the car with her, she just looked at her and was like, "Nah," and just bolted to the car. I'm like, "You're a horrible friend."
Like, I know, seriously.
You stayed quiet, helped your friend out, and you both snuck away instead of going, oh, here, take her, I'm going.
Well, I hate to say this, but most people would do that. Like, I mean, I you know, maybe not you. Maybe if you're
like best friends. Well, it also depends on the friendship level, too.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe they didn't like each other. Maybe she slept with her boyfriend. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know the backstory. That's another thing. Like, we don't really get too much backstory with these girls.
There's not a lot of backstory, which honestly, we didn't really need it. It just would have been time filler.
Yeah, like if we got to know these characters instead of everything else that's going on, we would have probably gotten bored. You know, a little bit, because like the whole point of this movie, and that's another reason I liked it, is there's like almost nonstop action.
It's straight to the point. It's here's the monster. The monster is going to be in the whole movie.
Yep. And he was, and they showed him because they were fucking proud probably of the thing. You can tell when they're proud of the movie, the monster. And when they're like Paul and I watched a movie called Blood Predator. And these were like cockroaches from hell, basically. Okay. I forgot what he calls it. He's like crickets from hell or something. But they're just these disgusting creatures that, you know, or whatever. But you don't really see them much, you know, and everything. They look pretty lame. And they're not shown much because they look lame, you know. This movie would shock Paul because we see movies in the snow with me and him, and sometimes there's not actually a lot of snow on the ground,
right? In this one they showed the snow, but it wasn't prominent through the whole thing, and I didn't notice that.
No, they probably shot at times. I didn't notice it. It didn't bother me at all. But
it didn't bother me at all either. It's just there were times where I kept forgetting that it was out in the snow. But yeah, after she got pulled through the floor, the next death was the bitchy friend who left her friend behind. She tried to get away. Car almost got flipped, and then she got squished, and Amanda got away to the neighbor's house. But I didn't understand why all of a sudden the Yeti was like, or whatever he was just like, oh, you went to the neighbor's house, that's cool, I'm good, I'll go away for a little while. Like, and he,
well, they kind of tried to
story, you know,
that's what they tried to talk about, is like,
right, they tried to, maybe he's full, you know, maybe he's not hungry right now.
But well, like, it wasn't just the hungry, because remember he said that it's territorial and maybe because that house was a little further back, that is not encroaching on his territory as much. I don't know what, but he did come after them still. It just took a little bit of time,
right?
But maybe needed to re-energize.
I think they were just, you know, they were trying to give them a little moment to give a little more backstory and set a little more stuff up. But it just bugged me, the fact that, okay, so this thing just rampaged through all these people, saw you run into this house, and then doesn't care for how long. Like, yeah. I think if he really was on that mass murder spree, like, he would have just gone right after him. But that gave him time to set up his story of, hey, heartfelt story. This is what happened to me and my wife, blah, blah, blah.
That's interesting that you say that, because now I'm like thinking about how that fucking how ridiculous that sort of is. It's like they'll have time to talk about, like, you know,
that random shit. You know, it's like you have time to sit here and tell her shit she doesn't really need to know that does, like, isn't going to help save her life. You're wasting time.
Yeah, just have her help you with the car.
And then she notices Otis on the floor with the thing in her neck, and he's like, oh, long story. It's like, and she doesn't find that like threatening or creepy. Like, like, who are you? Like, what did you do? Am I still safe with you? She just trusts him, you know, because he told the top story that it all forgiven that you stabbed the neck with the needle. Like, I still would have been a little weary of him. Like, you stabbed that guy in the neck. Okay. I'm going to watch you a little bit closer now.
Yeah. She liked him from the very beginning and kept liking him. She never felt uneasy around him.
But they had all this time. They had all this time for the story and to get this gear and then try to scale down the balcony. But my issue was, like, you really couldn't tell before how high up the balcony was. And they were trying to kind of show it while they were scaling. And I think he was telling her that story about the rope snapping and them scaling so they could kind of explain why he had that gear there for them to use and just kind of intertwine it. But honestly, I was just like, why does she need to really put the harness on and harness down the rope? I was like, it didn't seem high enough, and the ropes, like, he's like, let me go down first and I'll secure the rope. I was like, but if it's secure, like, if you can just go down it, why can't she just go down it? So I was like, I don't know, like, there seemed to be a little bit of a flaw there in the rope going, scaling down the rope with the gear.
Yeah,
you know, because I'm just like, I don't think you necessarily needed all that gear to clip in the rope. I think you probably could have just climbed down or scaled down or whatever, like, quickly. And I don't think it just seemed a little more too complicated than it should have been. You know, and then, you know, of course, the Yeti thing manages to go upstairs and over the balcony and wherever and try to pull her back up, which that was fun, just watching him try to pull her up. But also, it's like, she was fiddling with her belt and she couldn't detach. But then when she did detach later, because he's like, just detach. She's like, okay, and just detach. So I'm just like,
you couldn't do that before?
You're telling me you couldn't have done that from the beginning?
Like, why didn't she? I don't know.
Right, because it showed her, like, trying to. But But I'm just like, but then all of a sudden when he was like, just detach, she just all of a sudden clipped out. So I'm just like, if it was that easy to detach, why did you have such a problem earlier? Because then you got poor Otis killed because he tried to come to the rescue with that hatchet.
He was going to die. I mean, there was no way.
He was going to die. And his death was amazing. I loved his death.
I know. I at first I was upset. I was like, no, Otis. And then I was like, okay, he got a cool fucking death.
For me, like, the only issues I had with the movie was the parts where they were trying to escape his cabin, because, like I said, the whole scaling and the roping thing, the story, all that was a little questionable
for me. That's too much.
The hatchet, because he told her, hey, tie this rope really tightly around the hatchet. And you thought it was going to mean something that he tied the rope around the hatchet, right? And then later she's like, oh, here, I did this for you. And he just kind of throws it to the ground and leaves it there. And then they go and scale down the thing. So it's like, why did you tell her to do that if you were just going to discard it? And then, you know, of course, Otis comes with it and hits the guy. But why would you tell her to tie a rope to it and then her give it to you and you just be like, okay, I'm going to throw it to the floor. Screw that. We don't even need that. Right. And then just leave it there. And then climb down. So I was like, I didn't understand that, you know, and you know, but Otis grabbed it, hit him in the back, dropped the girl, and then got his face bitten off. And then seeing that creature's face open up that wide, his mouth to crunch his face, I think that was another great death in this movie.
Just all the times with this, I mean, this sassy Eddie just having the fucking mouth.
Yes.
Oh, just everything.
This were awesome.
Killed me, man. I was just like, okay, yep, that was worth him dying.
Right.
Remember, because I said I loved him. Like,
there's nothing. Right. So
he's such an ass, you know. But he was a likable ass.
He was a likable ass. But then, you know, he did give them time
Yeah, he tried to help and
the time to where they can get in a car and try to get away. Yeah. But Yeti apparently can just jump down, which, you know, if he could just jump down like that, I don't know why he didn't do that in the first place instead of just grabbing the rope. Instead of grabbing the rope, I just would have jumped down and got them both, you know?
But, just wait till they're down and then go, okay, you're done.
Right. You know, like, but he wanted to play with her, which was entertaining.
Which is almost like an animal thing, you right. know, playing with their food, you know, or right. whatever. Playing with their prey. And it also adds like suspense there, because the whole time she's coming up, you're thinking, oh God, she's going to die. She's going right. to die. She's going to die. And then,
right.
then
you kept know, wondering through the whole thing. Is she going to be a final girl? Is she going to survive this? Is she going to be one of the only girls to make it through this? Are they both going to survive or just one of them, you know?
And then they kind of, so they have some really cool scenes. So like they're in the car. And they drive.
He holds the car up and the wheels just spin.
Yeah. And then he was telling her to let go, because, you know, if you have your foot on the, you know, pedal, when he puts it on the ground, you're going to go straight, you know,
you're going to go super fast. Yeah.
And that's what he did. And they went super fast, hit the tree, and she yep. went throughout the window. And I'm like,
right.
Oh God, like, is she dead through that? God. I thought
maybe she was too, because it's like, it was kind of predictable that when he let the car down, that they would just go. But then all of a sudden I was like, oh, they're going to hit a tree. And they did. And she went right through the window. I was like, well, maybe that was the end of her.
And it wasn't. So of course he had to save her, and he put into reverse or whatever, whatever it was, like using it to back.
Very many complaints about this whole scene.
You do?
The car scene where he backs into the Yeti.
So you think that's wrong, like that wouldn't happen or anything?
My complaint was he took off his shoe and put it on the gas pedal to hold it down. I'm sorry, your shoe is not heavy enough to hold that gas pedal down. I don't think that's logical.
You'd have to have a stone or something.
Right. I think it would have taken something a little heavier than his loafer to hold the gas pedal down. And right. you know what I mean? Like, I'm a very big into like believable shit, even though I know it's just a movie. And then, so like the axe was in his back, and that was so when he hit the tree, the axe would go forward and the car would pin him and kind of squish him. But I was like, if he was strong enough to lift up the car earlier, why can't he just flip the car over and get it off of him?
Or just push it out of the way.
Because you can see the wheels like turning in the back, like against him. But then again, they also weren't on the ground either. They were just spinning in the air, supposedly pinning him to this tree with a car that he already showed us he could flip with with the gas pedal being held down with a loafer. And I'm just like, I have a feeling that this would not hurt this dude. I think the Squatch would have just been like, oh, it is a flesh wound, and flipped the car over and been like, but apparently, I guess maybe he was tired. Like, I know the axe came through him, but again, they showed the axe. The axe was not wide enough to go all the way through him like that, really, because they already showed how thick of a boy he was. So I just had a lot of issues with that whole scene of believability.
You know, this whole thing could have been fixed with just a gun, you know?
Yes, I said the same thing. I was like, what kind of guy has a cabin out in the woods and doesn't have a gun even to scare away predators?
Right. So this could be saved with a gun. He has a gun in his pocket.
Right.
You know, he's pinned the thing into the thing, you know, to the door. That's a fucking cool scene.
It was a cool scene. It just really bugged me on believability. But had he had a gun, I thought the same thing. Like, you could just go up to him, pop him in the head.
Yeah. So it would just, what would have been cool would be, you're right, if he had like flipped the car over after doing that, just like,
right,
just flipped it and said, you know, this is, because, you know, that would have been a beastly fucking thing.
Right.
That would
have been cool. He still could have had the axe protruding and kind of like dying, but at the same time.
And then he walks to it. He
still understood his strength.
And he walks to him and he's, you know, trying, you know, he's on the ground and he's just like, well, fuck this.
Right.
Boom. And game over. Sasquatch, that Sass Yeti is dead.
Right.
Boom. We think, oh man. You know, Matt McCoy just saved everybody. Right. Everything's fine. They call the police come, they check the area. They're like, blah, blah, blah. Then we find out later that there's like a whole family
of them. No, but instead of him, the common mistake is when the thing trying to kill you, you think is dying or dead. A lot of people just leave without making sure it's dead. You always got to make sure the thing is dead or it's just going to come back for you, because they did
Scream show talks that, about that, you know, right? If you ever watch the Scream movies, they always say, you know, you have to shoot them in the head, or
right,
you have to make sure that the thing is dead.
That they're off, like, get them while you can. Don't just assume that you can get away or they're dead.
And that was another thing that bothered me. And now that you're saying that, it's like he was pinned to this thing for so long or whatever. How did he get free?
Right. Well, because he grabbed Amanda and she's like, is it dead? He's like, I hope so. And then they ran and got the police. But I'm like, you obviously weren't sure if it was dead by saying, I hope so. And we knew it wasn't really dead. And I knew it was going to come back. And of course he did. He disappeared, because when the cops did show up and look at the car, no Yeti Squatch. They're like, oh, this guy's nuts. He's crazy.
Is that what they said? I thought they were talking about how... I guess it's gone or something, you know, or whatever.
I think at first the sheriff was mouthing off going, I don't believe this guy. And then that's all of a sudden where the noises happen.
Well, they said, no, they said something else. They couldn't find the bodies. And that bothered me, because I'm like, wait, Sasquatch moved the bodies?
I couldn't tell if he was talking about couldn't find the bodies as in the victims, or he couldn't find the body of the Squatch.
But he said bodies. That's what threw me off. So I was pretty sure that meant the victims' bodies. And that kind of threw me off and made me go, wait a minute. So Sasquatch moved the bodies?
Right. And the only way that would make sense is, spoiler at the ending, when all the cops are there and they're like, what's going on here? And all of a sudden you see a ton of creatures.
Like a family of them or whatever.
That's when you realize it's not one. It's multiple. The entire movie, I thought it was one Squatch.
Okay.
So if it was multiple, maybe the other ones went and took the bodies.
I've seen other movies on Tubi that have this thing happen where at the end, all of a sudden you see multiple, you know, things. It's like a family or a whole, you know, group of whatever. And I like it, but it's like, I hope people stop doing it now.
It was a surprise at the end. I wasn't expecting, because I thought it was one creature, because normally in folklore with these creatures, there's not that many of them. That's why you can't find them. And that's why they're so rare and people don't believe they exist, is because.
Yeah, but it makes more sense, because like how are you going to get more Sasquatches if there's, you know, once this one dead dies.
I can understand a small family of like three, but there was like 50 of them in the.
Well, what I'm saying. Yeah. What I'm saying is like, you know, you got to have a few. You got to have more than just a family, because then they've got to have other ones that meet with other ones and then create other Sasquatches that exist. Right. Because
I just feel like if there were that many, it wouldn't be so hard to find them. And that was another thing that did bug me, is why all of a sudden were there so many and they're so prominent and on this mass murder? It's like, if they're indigenous to the area and they're always here, like, I would like to have a little more backstory of why all of a sudden they all were out on this like killing spree. Because if this was normal, people would know about him. They wouldn't go up there. Like, it'd be like, oh no, there's Yetis up there. You know, we have proof there's Yetis. So it seemed like it was supposed to be a rare occurrence, but yet it just seemed so normal. I would have liked a little more explanation of why all of a sudden these Yetis were making themselves so known and prominent.
That's a good point. Makes sense. I like that. No, I agree 100%.
But it does make sense that there was one out in the cave, and it could have been a different one at the houses.
Exactly. Or it could have been, different ones all over the place. It could have been a different one that kills the hunters.
I was in the mind frame. It was the one. So it did kind of help piece together a few things that there were multiple, but then that just led to the question of, if there's this mass horde of Yetis, how does nobody know about them?
Because you're right, there would have been, people would have been like, hey, don't go out there, because
right. Like Yeti problem.
Right, so we watched and I can talk about this because it's the review came out on Tuesday, which this will come out on Wednesday. So it's fine. It's like the day before the review will come out. But Paul and I watched a movie called Shredder, Which was a for Quick Review Thursday. It's a another snow movie, and it's I'm having this theme right now of wanting to do movies in the snow for the winter. My idea was, like, in the movie, it's a mountain, and it's a closed off mountain. Nobody's really supposed to be there, and there's a serial killer and a ski mask, you know, a skiing serial killer, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool idea. But, you know, in that situation, there was closed off. People kept telling them there were deaths there. Nobody is allowed to be there. I don't care if your parents are buying this place. You're not supposed to be here or whatever, that kind of thing. Totally makes sense for that. So that would have been the way it should have been done for this one.
Right.
Is like, you know, kind of like, hey,
the locals maybe were scared, like, no, we have a Yeti problem, don't let anybody stay up here, and they're like, we're gonna do it anyways.
Yeah, like the low, like that, you know, maybe those girls came into the gas station and talked to Jeffrey Combs, and Jeffrey Combs like, hey, where are you guys at? And they're like, oh, we're headed up to that cabin, blah blah blah. And right. Then he's like, don't go to that cabin.
Right. I mean,
there's
right.
bad things happening in that cabin.
Right.
But then it would set up for when the police would know. Police would have been coming out.
It would have had to have rewritten the whole thing.
Yeah. But it would have made more sense. Because the police not knowing or not believing anything, and there being this whole group of fucking Sasquatches that have lived there for God knows how long. You know, it's not like they just. And one of the movies I watched where there was a whole family of them or whatever, of they weren't Sasquatches, there was something else, some other kind of creature. That's and we did it for 31 Days of Indie Horror last year, not you and me, but another person. The whole idea was that, like, these people had moved to this area, so they were not, people were not
familiar
with the fact that there was even this creature that exists, and all of a sudden these livestock and everything are being killed one by one and stuff like that. And the people are like, what is going on here? Why is this happening? You know, let's stop this thing. That would have made more sense. But as far as we knew, these things have been living here in this cave for like, for how long, you know, right. for God knows how long. And it's their territory. Is exactly right. what he said. He said, it's either hungry or territoriality, or we injured their, like, are they protecting?
Right. Maybe they were hibernating and this was their feeding time to gather food or whatever. But again, that goes along with the whole point of this movie where, like we said, it's more about showing the awesome creature and the awesome deaths and just action, 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 rather than building up characters and a storyline and filling all this information. So again, like, they had to sacrifice a little bit of the detail and the knowledge to give us that great gore and great monster madness that was in this film.
Exactly. And
so
I'm
not gonna complain, you know, I'm a big overthinker. So when I watch movies like this, that's all I do, is I notice things. And so I'm like, wait, that, like, I investigate. I'm like, nah, they want to do that. That would have happened. Why are they doing that? Like, big, just, I see too much. I overthink too much. Like, yep. It's dating me, I promise.
Well, you know,
question everything. Like, why did they do that?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I want Ryan Schiffer to do more movies. I mean, I would like an Abominable too, but the problem right now is there's just too many movies called Abominable.
Right.
And so it's just kind of like you would have to call it something else or just do a whole new movie.
So, you know, all these ship names between Sasquatch and Yeti, like the, you know, maybe Sketty or something, Squatchety, you know.
Have it be like Abominables, you know,
right?
Be the sequel. Because that's the whole idea, is there's a whole family of them out there and everything. Maybe the new sheriff has to deal with the Sasquatches.
Sasquatch, right, or now that they're aware of them and they've created this mass murder, now they have to go out there and fix the Sasquatch problem.
Yep. Well, I believe that's the end of this episode. We don't do a rating, of course, because we love these movies.
But I will say, because we pick movies we love, so that's why we don't really do a rating. But considering it's a movie I've never seen before, I will just say that I did enjoy the film. I would recommend watching it. You know, you're, especially if you're snowed in and you needed just a fun little movie to watch, that'd be
awesome. Perfect movie for the winter.
Right. It's a winter movie, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a whole lot of storyline, but if you like creature movies, you like Bigfoot, Yeti, Sasquatch movies, whatever, definitely give it a check out. It's only an hour and a half long and it's on Tubi, and it's not a bad movie. And like the special effects, the kills, if you like that gory stuff, is in there. So, and it's
got an hour and a half flies by.
Yeah, it does. It flew by. Like I said, I did enjoy it and I would recommend it. You know, I don't know if I would put it on my favorite list, but I am glad it is on yours and that we got to watch it.
Right. Well, I mean, no, it's definitely on my favorite list of like movies. Yeah. But it's more on my list of movies that like probably a lot of people have not seen. Right. It was released on MVD Productions or something like that, distribution company. Put it out, and that's where we get the special edition extra, you know, version or whatever on Tubi. And I would definitely just say, hey, look, if you like movies set in the snow, if you like Sasquatch movies, I wouldn't say Yeti movies because it's not a Yeti.
It's more of a Squatch than a Yeti. But also, if you like big hairy monsters chasing girls and ripping them in half.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you get one shower scene with some good titties in it.
Yeah. So there was some good nudity. There was some, you know, you see ass and titties. Just not gonna lie. It definitely had a really, you know, there might have been continuity issues, like we said, but like aside from that, I mean, you can forgive a lot of this stuff because
I said, it wasn't really about the storyline, it was about the creature and the deaths and like the brutality.
Well, it did have a good amount of good story. I mean, there was something
it did give us a story, but I'm just saying, like, it didn't explain everything under the sun. Yeah. So you have questions.
You'll have questions, and that's just normal. So yeah. If you guys check it out, please do. Let us know what you guys think. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. It's on Tubi for free, so there's no real reason to say something. We'll post something on Facebook beforehand so people can go check that out on Tubi and everything. But thank you, Sarah. We'll announce what next month is because we already know what we're doing next month or what we're planning. We're planning to do May. So I'm really excited. That's going to be in April, May and April.
Yes. So in the month of March, we are going to record for April, and the movie we are recording for April is called May. So it is a little confusing, but we think it's funny, which I remember seeing May when I was in high school and just finding it in the rental place. And I remember enjoying it. And I'm looking forward to watching it again and sharing it with everybody.
I watched it a couple years ago again for the I don't know how many time I think it was on Tubi as well, or was, I don't know if it still is, I'll have to look it up, but I will find it because I may even have to buy it, which I mean, whatever. Yeah, I'm okay with that
movie, so it doesn't cost a whole lot, so you know, I might have to buy it too for my collection since I do enjoy it. But until then, you can check us out online at a bunch of different websites, which Jonathan's gonna name off in a minute. And then if you want to check us out on Instagram, we're on there too, you know, Horror Film Lovers, Sick Flick. I'm under there under Virginia Church, official on Virginia Church, you know, under slashes and everything. Find us on.
Is that on Instagram and Twitter or?
Instagram is official _Virginia_Church. And then Twitter, I want to say I had to create a different one, and it's probably like Metal Vixen or something like that. So I might have to just give you some links to post. And then a quick plug before we plug all of our stuff, Mr. Jonathan, if you don't mind, if you do have the Troma channel, which I do recommend because most of you are Troma film lovers, please check out my friend Craig Meinhardt's 10-minute short, which won a few awards. It's called Into Dust. If you all can go watch that, it's only 10 minutes. Give them some positive reviews and feedbacks on that. I'd greatly appreciate it. Now plug all of our stuff, mister.
All right. Well, I'll have to check that out too. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, you should.
So yes, Horror Film Lovers. There's, I think it's just Horror Film Lovers or Horror Film Lovers Podcast. I'm not sure which one you can find on Instagram, but we're also on We're not on Twitter. There's a lot of problems with Twitter. It's like if you want to add so many things, you have to do it with your phone number and everything.
And I only honestly have Twitter for my OnlyFans, which again is Virginia Church, if y'all want to check that out. but other than that, I don't really use Twitter a whole lot.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So then what is it? Let's see, we have it on. Oh, we are on TikTok now. So it's Horror Film Lovers TV, I believe, because okay. There already was a Horror Film Lovers, you know, on the, I'm mad about that. I'm like, who are these people? Like, well, why are they on my TikTok?
It seems like a common thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So my Twitter is at @Vixen_Virginia. So there you go.
Twitter. There you go. And then we're on Facebook. We're on the Book of Faces. You can check us out on Horror Film Lovers on there, the page there. And I like it. I want to do more stuff on all the websites. And we're on YouTube now. We've been on YouTube, and now we're actually doing content on there. My plan is to have content for every day of the week. That's sort of happening, I think. By April, it will be happening, but right now it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. This is in February that I'm saying this. I think in March it'll be at least Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Don't know if there'll be a Thursday or not, but right. We'll see.
But so, getting a lot of new content, just digging into it.
We're just trying to keep you guys entertained and talk about, because there's so many horror movies out there. And I know you guys are huge horror film lovers, just like us. And you guys want to hear more stuff, not just us talk about this, but us talk about other films that we enjoy. So, or ones that we haven't seen. I do a first time watch Fridays, mm-hmm. you know, thing. I think Sarah's going to be joining me doing one of those every now and then. Once things get settled down and she's able to do that, and we're gonna keep doing this stuff because it's fun. So check us out on those different platforms.
Exactly.
All right, and thank you, Sarah, everybody else, thank you guys so much, and join us next month for a brand new episode of Horror Film Lovers.
Bye.
Bye.